Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Other People's Money, The Real Business of Finance by John Kay, is a nonfiction critique of modern finance, written for readers who want to understand what financial institutions actually do and how those activities affect the wider economy. Rather than treating finance as a neutral, self-correcting engine of efficiency, Kay argues that much of the sector has drifted away from its practical purpose, connecting savings to productive investment, supporting commerce, and helping households and firms manage risk. The book examines banking, trading, regulation, incentives, and market structure with a skeptical eye, showing how complexity and self-referential activity can obscure weak social value. It is written in an accessible but intellectually sharp style, making it useful both for general readers and for those with a background in economics or policy. The central aim is not to condemn all finance, but to separate valuable financial functions from the parts of the industry that mainly serve themselves. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, finance is judged by its social function, not by its own internal scale. Kay's starting point is that finance should be measured against what it does for the real economy. The useful test is not whether the industry is large, profitable, or technically sophisticated, but whether it helps allocate capital well, supports investment, and improves daily economic life. From this perspective, the book is critical of a financial sector that has grown enormously without clearly improving the quality of capital allocation. Kay argues that much of finance has become self-justifying, with firms, traders, and institutions evaluating success using metrics that largely come from inside the industry itself. That matters because an industry can appear impressive while contributing little to productivity, resilience, or broad welfare. The book repeatedly returns to the idea that finance is a utility-like function within society, not a special realm entitled to exceptional status. This reorientation is one of the book's most important moves, because it shifts the reader away from admiration of complexity and toward asking whether financial activity genuinely serves households, businesses, and long-term economic development. Secondly, financial markets often reward cleverness that exploits other intermediaries rather than clients. A distinctive theme in the book is the critique of what might be called competitive over-engineering in markets. Kay describes a financial environment in which sophisticated mathematical and technological talent is increasingly used to gain tiny advantages in trading, pricing, and execution, often by exploiting the weaknesses of other market participants. This is not presented as evidence of healthy innovation, but as a sign that the sector has become preoccupied with internal contests for advantage. The resulting activity can be highly profitable for firms while adding little value for end users such as savers, borrowers, or businesses seeking capital. By framing modern trading as a form of Star Wars competition, Kay shows how finance can drift into a costly arms race of speed, complexity, and algorithmic refinement. The deeper argument is that when markets mostly facilitate more trading rather than better investment, the apparent sophistication of the system conceals a problem of purpose. This theme helps explain why the book is so skeptical of financial innovation that cannot clearly demonstrate benefits outside the market itself. Thirdly, risk and rationality are more complicated than standard economic models assume. One of the book's strongest analytical contributions is its treatment of risk, uncertainty, and human behavior. Kay rejects the simplistic assumption that people behave as perfectly rational actors in the way many economic models imagine. Instead, he emphasizes that real individuals make choices that are shaped by habit, emotion, limited information, and personal reasoning that may look irrational from the outside, but still make sense to them. His discussion of lottery tickets is emblematic. People may knowingly accept poor odds because the choice has meaning within their own framework of hope, entertainment, or aspiration. This matters for finance because markets are built on assumptions about how people assess risk, price assets, and respond to incentives. If those assumptions are too neat, regulation and market design will be flawed. Kay's point is not that people are irrational in a trivial sense, but that behavior cannot be reduced to textbook models without losing sight of how actual financial decisions are made. That makes risk management a broader social and psychological problem, not merely a mathematical one. Fourthly, many regulatory debates miss the real source of market demands and distortions. Kay is skeptical of the habit of regulating finance by focusing mainly on financial intermediaries while treating market outcomes as if they naturally reflect user needs. He argues that demands for transparency, liquidity, and similar features are often generated within the financial system itself rather than by end users. That is an important distinction, because a market can claim that it needs ever faster trading or greater openness, while the real beneficiaries are the participants who profit from those conditions. In this view, regulation should not simply accommodate every demand made in the name of efficiency. It should ask whose interests are being served and whether the claimed benefit is genuine. The book also questions the assumption that governments can steer the economy by manipulating interest rates in a straightforward way. By comparing that practice with the absurdity of controlling electricity supply and price to manage the economy, Kay highlights how central banking can become overconfident in its policy reach. The result is a call for more humility, more attention to end users, and a better understanding of what financial rules are actually for. Lastly, real reform means simplifying finance and reducing its political power. The book is not only diagnostic, it is reform-oriented. Kay proposes that restoring finance to usefulness requires structural change, not just better public relations or more technical regulation. Several of his recommended reforms follow a consistent logic: reduce complexity, cut unnecessary costs, improve stability, and make the sector less politically influential. He is especially concerned with the relationship between money and politics, including campaign spending and the revolving door between government and finance. These issues matter because regulatory capture and political dependence can prevent meaningful change even when the public costs of financial dysfunction are clear. The book therefore treats reform as both institutional and democratic. A healthier financial system depends on rules that make it harder for the industry to judge itself, lobby itself, and protect itself from accountability. Kay does not suggest abandoning finance, but he insists that it should be made more ordinary, more useful, and less able to present its own preferences as public necessity. That practical orientation is one reason the book remains influential in debates about banking reform. In conclusion, Other People's Money is best suited to readers who want a serious, unsentimental explanation of how modern finance works and why so much of it fails to serve the wider economy. Economists, policy readers, finance professionals, and general readers interested in banking reform will all find value in it, especially if they want more than a simple anti-Wall Street polemic. The book is intellectually useful because it combines institutional analysis, economic reasoning, and a clear moral question: what should finance be for? Its main benefit is that it helps readers distinguish between financial activity that genuinely supports investment and risk management, an activity that mainly exists to feed the industry itself. Compared with many books on finance, it stands out for its balance of skepticism and practicality. Kay does not merely denounce bankers or markets. He explains the structural incentives that make dysfunction persistent and then points toward reforms that are plausible in public policy terms. That combination of clarity, restraint, and reform-minded critique makes the book especially valuable for anyone trying to understand finance as a social system rather than a collection of technical products. If you would like to support John Kay, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.